Hey everybody, how's it going? This is Rob Turley, your host of Down the Rabbit Hole podcast. I know it's been a couple weeks, but was migrating the podcast, all that good stuff, getting a nice refresh to it. And I thought it was very important to talk about something that's usually underspoken about, something that really yields the relationships that we have in business. So today with me, I have Alex. He is the CEO over at Partner Hub, and they're doing a great job and they're doing it differently. It's not like a partner stack. It's not like any of those other PRMs. It's something very interesting in the sense of matchmaking partnerships for people and giving them a platform where they can manage, build, and establish, as well as maintain those partnerships. It's a very interesting thing. So, Alex, if you don't mind giving a little bit of a spiel and what the importance and what the differentiations are between the different structures of partnerships, that would be great, because I know this is a very underutilized piece, but the world is starting to wake up to we have to work together even if we are competitors.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rob. Always a pleasure to talk to you, man. So partnerships, it's an umbrella term. It encompasses a lot of words, a lot of acronyms, a lot of things that come from different areas of business that shouldn't be involved in what we today call partnerships in the SaaS world. You know, I was talking to somebody that's been in channel since channel was termed the word channel. And it comes from back when Microsoft and these large software companies actually needed people on the ground in order to sell a computer into a market. So when they want to go into Texas, instead of just shipping a bunch of computers to Texas, they would have to have a channel set up in Texas of people that would service the computers, of people that would have parts and to be able to make those computers work, sell them and service them. That was the channel, right? And then SaaS became a thing and we just adopted the word channel. And then under channel, there's all sorts of stuff going on. So partnerships and channel are supposed to be synonymous, but they're really not. Of course, the term affiliate is what we wanted to really dig out early on in this episode, and then we'll unpack how to incentivize partners, and we'll go through that. But the word affiliate is under all that. And the best way to think about affiliates versus partners are affiliates are people that are sending you traffic through a link. They're sending you referrals through a link. They are very transactional by nature. They could be just a big organization. It could be an influencer. It could be someone that just has traffic going to a blog and your product just fits in well with that blog and they want to earn money by getting clicks and conversions through a link that's tracked by a system, a software. That's what an affiliate is. You typically don't know these people. You're typically not building a business together. When you start to work closely with somebody and a business entity and you start to try to build a new business together, that's when we like to use the word partner and partnership. But oftentimes partners will be called affiliates and affiliates will be called partners. And I think that definitely needs to start to change. So we don't undervalue and undermine the people that are really working hard and building their entire business on top of our products and our companies, right? Those are your partners and you want to look at them a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's very important to differentiate and segment because an affiliate is one thing. I mean, it's great to get traffic and all. It's great to have things passed over to you, but really what is going on there? It's a one-way relationship. It's not really a two-way relationship. The collaborative ideal of a partnership is precisely what we should be working toward. It's making that relationship happening, helping both businesses succeed. If it's something that is exclusive to one party, it is not a partnership. And it's not all about the money either. It's about how far can the relationship get taken in order to create a perfect system of passing business back and forth, building a stronger, more powerful offering, and ultimately helping the end user, the customer, or the client become more than what they were before, to add more value than they had before. So how can companies work together to actually lift each other up rather than just finding a way to make money off of them?
Exactly. And then it comes into incentive structure and how do you actually incentivize somebody to do more of that, to get into this world of like, I'm going to be risking my brand, my business. I'm going to be risking time. I'm going to be risking resources in order to set up our partnership. Why am I doing that? And that's, I think, where a lot of companies go wrong. That's when they start to go down the wrong mental path, the wrong strategic path, because they look at it like a business, a sales relationship, right? They say, Rob, you know what? We want you to sell our product. How much do we need to pay you?
Do you know how many conversations I've had with companies, working in other companies, where it's like, yeah, we want to partner with you. And then they say, okay, you can white label and resell our product. I'm like, what? I'm not. So you want me to become an unpaid salesperson of your product with absolutely no benefit or value in it to me? And you want me to invest all my time and resources into building your business? What is that?
That's what we hear. I get it. I have people emailing me. I got one the other day from one of these outsourced marketing, partner marketing agencies where, like, Alex, do you want to partner with Unbounce? No, it was worse than that. It was, Alex, we saw that you were in our affiliate program with Unbounce, which I'm not. I don't know how my name is on that list. I've never been an affiliate of Unbounce. And they said in the email, we saw you were inactive and not referring us business. Is the commission good enough for you? What's going on? Why aren't you sending us business? Sending Unbounce business. This was a third party that was sending me a request to send their client more business. Never had a conversation with these people before. Never even had that type of conversation or relationship with Unbounce before. And it's a very big misconception where you say, you know what, Rob, I want you to bring me more customers. How much do you want in order to do that?
Isn't that what we all want, though? Everybody wants more customers. Isn't that the point of having a business, right? So that's nothing that's exciting, and it's nothing that differentiates you from other companies of some sort of mutual benefit to actually create something bigger, better, and badder. It's just a referral. It's a referral machine. That's all it is. And there are so many opportunities out there. I mean, I want to put an example out there, such as, let's say you have a company. That company is selling a CRM. That CRM costs what an enterprise can afford, right? So small businesses talk to them and they can't do business with them. Sure, another CRM, let's say a less expensive one, is a direct competitor. Now, if it's outside of their price range and always will be outside of their price range, why wouldn't they partner with another CRM and pass them the business that cannot afford the CRM that's currently getting sold to them, rather than screwing over the prospect and having them go with some sort of choice that doesn't make any sense by having these trusted partners, in the sense of, these are the other CRMs that we trust that have a good product and you can work with them. Other features that we have specifically integrate with these CRMs, you could start looking at it at a deeper level or finding out how they work together. My favorite example is, let's say, Salesforce and ActiveCampaign. Salesforce is great for sales. I mean, I'm personally not a fan because I think it's over-engineered, but Salesforce is a great thing for sales teams, enterprise sales teams. But then Salesforce wouldn't know a marketing distribution application if it hit them in the face at 100 miles an hour. So people use a separate product. ActiveCampaign also sells a CRM. It's in direct competition with HubSpot and Salesforce. Meanwhile, people use ActiveCampaign or HubSpot as the marketing element while using Salesforce as their main CRM, because Salesforce cannot support it. So what do? Instead of fighting each other to the death and bleeding each other out, what happens is that ActiveCampaign integrated, and so did HubSpot, integrated with Salesforce so they can actually work together, even though they are mortal enemies. It had to happen. That is a partnership to create something that doesn't completely eradicate one another in a way, or screw each other over, where they can help each other stay in business and make more business.
Yeah, exactly. So there's under partnerships, there's also the tech side, and then there's the digital agency, the service provider side. That's the tough nut to crack, because when you're talking about a partnership with a technology, it's pretty straightforward. It's, you guys have your own ecosystem, you have traffic, you've got users, we do too, and our users are overlapping. Some of your users are also using our product. Let's figure out how we can make those users happy and find more users like those, because we've run a bunch of analysis and we realize that if our products are integrated, we both retain more users. Great. That's pretty straightforward. And you don't even have to talk about it.
Yeah, where do you see the friction start to form between that? Because even still, when it's something where they have overlap, all that stuff, there's a lot of rejection or friction to prevent it from happening.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, friction and what prevents those tech integration, strategic alliances sometime in there as well, where we're not going to integrate. We're just going to form a strategic alliance to win more business together. We see that a lot. I mean, you know, all the red tape, all the different departments that need to get involved. Also the stack itself, the APIs that need to get connected. Sometimes somebody's behind the ball on that. Sometimes I've got too much tech debt to be able to support what's going on with this integration. There's hundreds of ways that can fail. But again, it's pretty straightforward as far as why we're going to do it and what is in it for both of us. It's not a P2P thing. It's not a peer-to-peer thing. It's not Rob and I going about this integration. It's our entire companies and our product teams and our engineering teams. So there's more there, but there's not as much confusion on why are we doing this and what is the real reason. When you get into alliances with channel partners, digital agencies, sometimes you refer to these people as MSPs, managed service providers. This is what the biggest tech companies in the world are propped up on top of. Microsoft's, your Salesforce's, you just mentioned that example, HubSpot, another example. These companies are propped up almost 60% more, 60% plus on top of this channel. And they have learned how to incentivize that channel in the way that they like to be incentivized. And there is money in there, of course. But what I want to dig out and really where I'm super interested right now, especially, I just did a presentation on this at SaaS Connect, is what really incentivizes Rob as a human being to put his time and energy and resources into setting up new services on top of my product and getting that into his sales system and his operational system for his agency, getting his team rallied around it, and then continuing to build more and more business on top of it. We call it, you know, creating a pie together, where I am not after Rob's piece of the pie that we share together. Like if I brought my clients in and Rob brought his clients in and we just want to kind of take from each other. That's not a true partnership. A true partnership is forget about my pie, forget about your pie. Let's create a new pie together. Let's do stuff that will create a new pie. I'm really interested in what incentivizes Rob to do that. And money is more often than not very low on the totem pole, meaning money is in how much can you pay me, right? What is my incentive on the commissions, specifically referral commission side of things? And I'll just show this while Rob responds to that. This is a slide out of the presentation that I was just talking about, where we posted this this poll on LinkedIn. We also did a poll inside of our community, and we even emailed out to get some responses. I've got some quotes lower on the presentation, but we asked our community, if your tech partner told you they were no longer going to pay you commissions, like today, you've got commissions coming from your top tech partner like HubSpot or whatever, and they called you or emailed you and just said, hey, you know what? We can no longer support commissions. We're no longer paying it. We're no longer tracking it. Please still send us business, but we can't pay you for it. We asked how many of these agencies would stop referring business to that tech partner if they told them we weren't going to pay you for it. And 75% said, no, we would not stop sending them business because they are our partner. They're the ones that we have decided to partner with for other reasons, right? And then 25% said yes. And some of those people are really referring to those tech companies that they're affiliates of, right? And they've built an affiliate sort of relationship with those tech companies. So we go on to ask a little bit more about it, dig out some of the reasons for this. And this is a really interesting if you're listening to this, you're not watching it. If you're listening to this on podcast, I'm showing an actual screen grab of one of our agencies that is tracking commissions in the spreadsheet. This is before Partner Hub, of course. Now they're doing it in Partner Hub, but they've got the spreadsheet and they've got 142 tracked deals that they've been receiving payouts over a 10-month period. So they've got about 14 partners sending them checks, however they do it. The total number of 142 payouts for this agency was $6,900, which is money, of course. We're not going to all throw away $6,900, but this agency makes $20 million or more a year. They're growing like crazy. And this,
if people think about finance from an individual perspective or a personal perspective, $6,900 could be quite a bit of money.
For a person.
But for a business, it's literally pennies in a bucket.
And this is the CEO that has to track this. So the other side of this is the CEO is going into partner portals that his tech companies require him to have a login for and seeing numbers like $48 sitting there. And then he goes to another partner portal and sees another $30 because it's 10% of 300 or whatever it is.
And at that amount of money, it's not even worth the CEO's time to look.
No.
He spent more money on himself, paying himself per hour or per salary per day, right? Than any of that's even worth. By looking up that number, you've spent three times as much money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what we've learned, and we've been talking to agencies for 3 years now about this, and I was an agency before getting into this, and we still somewhat operate as an agency. And people ask me all the time, users of Partner Hub, they'll ask me, Alex, you know, can we set you up on a referral commission commission program and start to get you referral commissions from all this? And I'm just like, guys, you know, money's great. I'm not going to say no to money. It's awesome. But we would not be able to help you with partnerships if this financial relationship was the crux of it, right? It wouldn't be a partnership. So we have a different business model altogether. And this is a great quote from one of our top agencies, a user of Partner Hub. Samir put this in the LinkedIn post, that poll that I showed you. And he said, we don't take referral commissions. We pass it on to our clients. How can our clients trust our recommendations if we're getting paid for it? Feels like a conflict of interest, right? He's got a successful agency. He needs money just like everybody else needs money. And he's telling his tech partners, don't pay us commissions. Give that to our clients. And the way you give it, if you're a tech company listening, pass through discounts, bulk license buying, the potential for bulk license buying to the agency partner, or spiffs, right? Spiffs are a good way. So not just giving back the money to the clients, but another agency of ours prefers that their tech company spiff their salespeople.
Could you define spiff for the people who don't know the term? Because that's not a very common term outside of the agency partnership world.
A spiff is, it could be money. It could be a gift card. It could be honestly a gift, you know. It could just be something that you give a person. A spiff typically goes to a person at your partner organization. So if, here's another one, Chris over at Gorilla Group, he said, no need for commissions as they would go back to the company. That's the important thing to realize. And we're still talking about the mentality of commissions. Now, when you're paying commissions to a salesperson and you have a sales team and a sales operation, that makes sense. The salesperson is working hard, hammering the phones, trying to get buyers and trying to upgrade users and doing all that stuff. And you're paying that person a commission. Totally makes sense.
Well, that is also their job. When in a partnership, a company's job is not to grow your business, it's to grow their own.
Exactly. That's what Chris here, if you're listening, not watching, I'm showing a quote from another top agency. He's head of partnerships for Gorilla Group. He says, no need for commissions as they would go back to my company, not me, the partner manager, not my team. It goes to my company. So how does that incentivize the partner team? You think about who sends you business as a referral partner. Is it the entire entity sending you business in an integration relationship? Of course. But in a channel partnership, no, it's Rob sending me a referral. And if I want to incentivize Rob, how do I do that?
That's right. And think about it. If you have your salespeople sending business over to other businesses because you have a partnership with them, just like you said, the money goes to the company. The salesperson either doesn't see a dime or they get the percentage of their commission based off of that commission, which is like, you know, $5, $25. It's not even worth their time to do it. So if money is the incentive and the driver, they don't see the value in it. It's everything that surrounds that money that's going to bring them the value, such as their customer that they sold to can now be upsold because they just passed them over to this partner, hooked them up with this other technology. Now this whole other stage of consulting can come through for $25,000 retainer, in which that salesperson gets 15% of that. And there's the incentive. It's all down the road. It's not from the direct transaction.
Exactly. So let's talk about this. Now let's play devil's advocate. So one thing in that, let's before we wrap that side of the argument up, is when you are talking about commissions, there will be people that ask for it, especially if you're talking to the agency owner. The agency owner is going to say, you know, of course, I'd like you to keep the commission program. I'm happy with it. I'm getting some money at the end of the day, right?
They don't want to lose money. And then a lot of agencies struggle to keep themselves afloat. So that little bit of commission could be their margin of profit versus breaking even.
That's the side of it. So now we're talking about whether you unplug commissions from your program that's existing. But what's really interesting is, what if the HubSpots of the world started off not paying commission? Now, there are big HubSpot agencies that make millions in commissions. And of course, those agencies would be very upset if HubSpot stopped paying commission. But the guy that built HubSpot's program from the ground up, the guy that spearheaded the program, his name's Pete Caputa. He's CEO of Databox now. I asked Pete about this. I said, hey, Pete, commissions, you know, what was your, you know, deliberation early on at HubSpot when you're launching this program? He proved out HubSpot's program without commissions. Then he went to Brian, the CEO of HubSpot. I think he's still CEO. I don't know what his title is, but he went to Brian and they're talking about war room stuff. We're going to go to market with this, you know, partner program. And then Brian says, we need to pay commissions. And Pete says, I suggested that we do not offer commissions at all. And this is the guy that built the program. This is the guy that knows every agency in the program personally. He knew they did not need to pay commission in order to have a successful program. And keep in mind, you got to think about the hats that are going on, like what he had. He basically put his own job on the line saying, you're tasking me with building a successful partner program. He's telling the person that's tasking him to build the program, don't give me that incentive of paying commission. Don't give that to me. I would like to build the program without commissions being a part of it. I thought that was super interesting. He ended up losing.
And as an integrator, my company, my previous company, was building an integration into HubSpot. And we said, well, would you like commissions? They said, no, we don't want commissions from you. We don't want your money. We want our platform to be more sticky. We want to see how we can support you and how you can help us maintain our customers, get new customers, and drive customers to us. And then even since then, they said you could sign up for our affiliate program. We never did. Well, I never did. I was in charge of that. I've sent them at least 20 to 30 accounts that signed up and became HubSpot users, and I didn't get paid a dime. Did not feel like I wanted to. Didn't feel like I got shorted. I agreed not to. But then in other cases, a company that I will not name, but it's one of those meeting recording companies, one of the cheaper ones, I sent them about 37 accounts. There was no incentive for me. Otherwise, it was not a partnership. It was just like a referral reseller thing, basic 15% commission. I didn't get paid a dime because they said they can't attribute it to me when I gave direct email introductions. Really?
And this is the thing. You are hitting on my favorite point of why you shouldn't start your partner program with commissions as a part of it, is because it creates debt collectors. I call them debt collectors, right?
Literally, that's what I had to become.
Because that company even said anything about commissions, affiliate fees, whatever, anywhere on their partner landing page, in their partner contracts, you are now, in your mental state there, you're saying, I'm owed. You would have sent those people to that company regardless, I'm guessing, because you like the platform and your client or your user said, I need a call tracking or call recording software, and it's the platform you liked at the time, and you said, you know what, I'll send you this. You're going to help another human being out by sending them a referral to a product that you trust, that you like, that you use, regardless of the commission. But as soon as they say commission is a part of our program, now you are there and you're like, okay, I've got to track this now. I've got to call you back every month and figure out where that commission's at. I've got to go back to my clients or my users and ask them where they're at with that purchase. And then it creates just this, this.
Yeah, you become the alpha and the omega and everything in between. That's the problem with it too. And you'll find cases where, you know, people will start referring business to a specific partner because there is fiscal incentive when it's not the best solution for them. It's the second or the third or the fourth or the 50th best, simply because you'll get paid out from it. With the other folks, you won't. So removing money from the equation will enable people, like, let's say they don't have a partnership with them. There is no incentive. They're going to pass them to the best possible choice that they can go to. When you put money behind it, they'll pass it to that company instead, which is great for that company. And it's working because they're getting business. But in the end, the customer's getting screwed. When a customer gets screwed, whose ass is on the line? Not only the company that they bought from that you recommended them to, but now your word has been completely, you know, shit on. They can't trust you anymore. That trust is gone. And it's really, really hard to reestablish trust. And if you lie to somebody, they'll always, like in business, if you lie to somebody, sure, they will always forgive you, but they will never forget that you lied to them or you pointed them in the wrong direction. And that will harm you in the long run, because word of mouth is the best form of advertising to this day. But then there's also negative word of mouth. People say they don't do it. They do it all the time. And sometimes not saying a word is the worst thing you could say about somebody if someone asks you about them. Now, that can be detrimental to your business.
Agreed. So now that we're all on the same page, hopefully, that there's light at the end of the tunnel. You can build a program without commissions. You don't need it. Don't rely on it. Don't make it your crux of like, I've got a partner program, I'm paying commissions. Why am I not successful with partnership? So a better question to ask is, how can you repurpose those commissions and create a better program? A big part of partnerships failure is communication, then referrals, and then red tape, lack of integrations, and then too pushy, partner managers being too pushy.
Wait, so let's get into that real quick. Is that partner managers being too pushy? What does that usually lead to? What have you seen?
Yeah.
As far as pushiness in that case?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard, and we get these actual answers when agencies join our community. They tell us their good and bad experience with partnerships. So we have a document, we actually have an article about it, I'll try to get you the link, that has, I think, 250 comments. And then we sorted those into what is the reason that they said it was negative. So we put all the negative responses into a bucket. And then we said, okay, well, this one's referring to an email exchange where the partner manager, you know, didn't reply to an email thread and then they lost the client or whatever. That's a communication issue. Then this person's complaining that they sent 50 referrals and they never saw a referral back from the partner. That's no referrals. Then red tape. Sometimes partner managers will try to get an agency to sign agreements before they even have an idea of what they're going to do with the partnership. That's terrible. Don't make the agency jump through loopholes. Don't make them sign into a partner portal that's, you know, only for your partnership, and they have to log in and they have to check and they have to export commissions. Make commissions, if you're going to do it, make it an automated thing. Don't make them have to jump through hoops.
I was going to say the same thing. If you're going to pay out commissions, automate it, or make it at least 90% automated. Otherwise, it just becomes a nightmare. You have two people with a full-time job on it. If you're looking at it in the sense of, you know, you need to have these individual platforms they have to log into. It's such a pain in the ass. I mean, I've dealt with that before. We've all dealt with that before, and it makes it unmanageable. And then let's say you pass somebody 30 referrals, just like you said, and then they don't send any back when it's supposed to be a mutual referral agreement. Why are they sending you no business and you're sending them a ton of business? That puts a really bad taste in people's mouth. They never want to do business with you again or pass you any business anymore, because it's not even about the money you're making off of them. It's about that you are pissed off that they're not helping you build your business too.
Exactly. And I'd say this about the referral thing, and there's a whole other episode we could talk about how to build this sort of system internally. But the system is this. I mean, you don't have to tell Rob and other partners that come to you, we are going to send you business, and this is the cadence of that. You don't have to do that. What you have to do is make partnerships a part of your product funnel. And the way you do that is by making sure that partners are visible on your website, a partner directory, have the filters be able to sort by the skill type, or what platforms that partner's really good at. Databox has a killer partner directory. Also, try to get partners to highlight what they do with your product in your blog, maybe even in another directory of templates, how they use your product. And then have your success team, your customer success team, and even your sales team get to know these partners. Invite the partners to do lunch and learn presentations for your success team or your sales team, and have an actual list. If they use the directory, that's fine. If they use a shorter list, and maybe there's round robin style of referrals, but have them refer customers, users of yours to that list when they have issues that your customer success team shouldn't be solving. So if you're a CRM and your users are struggling with an integration to a third party so that they can create some sort of an automated funnel chat XYZ, your success team shouldn't be helping them with that. That's something that's out external of your product itself, but you should have a list of partners, agencies, service providers that are experts in that type of situation. And your success team should have an operation that they're tasked with to make sure that they're at least sending that list to your customers and letting your customers reach out to the agencies. I'll just say that. And then the too salesy comment that you mentioned, Rob, too salesy's when your partner program starts to have revenue goals. When you start to put steep revenue goals on a partner manager whose job is to build and nurture relationships with the partners in their program itself, you tell that partner manager, you owe me this much new revenue from partner source revenue, referrals from partners, all the stuff going on inside the channel. And you got to hit that goal in the next month, it's going to go up, and next quarter, it's going to go up. You're going to create salespeople out of your partner managers, which sounds great because you're like, oh, well, that's it. Then it becomes a referral system and I just, you know, add more salespeople and then it grows that system. The problem with that is you start to develop that one-sided sales relationship with your partners and they stop picking up the phone and they stop answering emails. And then when your product team wants to go back to your partners, which they should be doing to get really keen insight on what their clients are needing and what's going on in the ecosystem at large so they can make product decisions, those partners are just crickets. They're gone because you have shown them all you want is to take from their pockets. You're not trying to give them back in return. So the two salesies, the 30th of the month, every Friday, you know, when that partner manager is reaching out for referrals and saying, Rob, why haven't you sent me a referral in a month? What's going on? You know, and that's the only communication you get. They get nothing else.
Right. Then there should be the right infrastructure in place where it becomes more experiential and joint benefiting. So in a case where, let's say you have a technology provider, you have an agency, when you put the two services together, you solve a whole different problem that occurs, whether you use one or the other. Why not start marketing that? Do joint webinars, workshops, or even joint sell individuals so that it feels like it is a combined force working together. And chances are you're more likely to close the sale and you're going to be able to establish trust between both companies. And if one company, let's say company A, speaks about company B and why they're so great during that meeting, then company B talks about company A and why they're so great during that meeting, no one's talking about themselves. So they are lifting each other up and ultimately selling each other, which creates an even greater sense of trust to the end client because it's not the provider that's talking about their service.
You've heard a bunch of what not to do, but like, let's give them some what to do. So I'm showing a couple things here, a couple examples, and some of the best products, if you want to really research what a product-led partnerships approach is, look at Databox, like I mentioned, databox.com. Look at the Airtable universe. Look at Airtable's partner program. Look at what they're doing there. Very product driven. They just started a human-based partner team and a partner program where they're going to be nurturing now these builders, these people that are in the ecosystem. But until then, it was all product driven. They allowed me to create a template, publish it to the Airtable universe that gives me thought leadership. I can send my clients to that template. I can build systems in Airtable and make money off that. I can support services in Airtable and have a business on top of it. They're only now putting a human in the partnerships chair that's going to reach back out to people like me and try to get us to do more. But they didn't, they may never have needed to do that, right? Webflow, great job with this. They actually have agencies, brands on the templates that you can build inside of their template library. On the marketing side, companies like Smith.ai, check them out, check out their blog. Same with Databox's blog. They bring partners into lots of articles on the website. They source content from partners all day long. And then HubSpot's the shining example of how to bring partners closer. They have a lot of different directories. They have the partner, platform operations hub now, where I can build on top of HubSpot. They've got content going out with partners all day long. They've got a whole system, an entire system on all sides, product and marketing.
Yeah, to add to this list too, I would also put Microsoft, because they're doing product, both hardware and software and services on top of that. And then they're threading in other product, service, and hardware providers all together as this unicentric thing that flows across all fronts.
That they've got that traditional channel where they had a whole channel of hardware stuff, and then they have to plug in software once they launch Windows and all that stuff. They have to plug in software, individual service providers, and support. And it's interesting because I do a lot of cold email stuff. And when we're launching, you know, a lot of cold email stuff, I'll have an Outlook URL, an Outlook domain, Microsoft Outlook. Then I'll have a Gmail domain. When I go into Gmail, it's all, you know, self-serve. I just build my own thing. When I start my Outlook account and I upgrade to their business account, the very first thing I get is a phone call from one of their service provider partners. And, you know, you think that's kind of, you know, why would you do that with email? What that guy was able to help me do, I did not get any of that from Google, from Gmail, from Google Apps at all. And I had the exact same account. That guy, maybe he didn't make any money from me because his job is to nurture me into a client of theirs and I'll, you know, use them for IT services or something like that. I obviously wasn't in a place for that. But what it allowed me to do was quickly get my stuff going with Outlook. I was able to really bring those campaigns up faster. And I was really a lot closer to my Outlook build than my Gmail build, my Google Apps build, because of the service provider, because of what Microsoft created. They allowed that system to take place. And it was a great experience. And I'm very happy that they did that. So let's end with this, because I do only have 6 minutes here and then we got to jump. But some areas to focus on. So if you're the CEO, you're the revenue leader, or you're the marketing or whoever, and you're tasked with trying to figure this whole partnership stuff out. We make this entire episode really mainly about what not to do and what commissions is all about and when and why does it make sense and when it doesn't make sense. So if you are agreeing and you're nodding your head and you're saying, hey, you know what, Alex, you seem to be on to something. Let me take this to the team. Where should you focus your energy, your thought process, and your money and your incentive structure? Better uses for commission budgets are spiffing your salespeople. I'm sorry, spiffing their salespeople, not yours. Spiffing their salespeople. So if Rob's my partner, I have a budget as a partner manager that I can send his salespeople $200 when they send me a lead. And the salespeople know that they get that spiff. And as the first couple of $200 gift cards or Venmo or whatever you want to do start to land, of course, activity is going to go up. And Rob, as the owner of that partner organization, a partner of mine, is going to be very happy because the salespeople are going to be happy. If his salespeople are happy, he's going to be happy. So spiff their salespeople. Creating magnanimous events with your partner. So take that budget and go to Rob and say, you know what, Rob, you know we don't pay commissions, but what that allows me to do is create a budget for co-marketing. And yep. I want to do an event. So I know you're the RevOps hitman. We are a RevOps application of some sort. Let's do a big webinar together. I'll put $5,000 at PPC traffic to that webinar landing page. Your face will be on it. You've got to help me with promotions. Let's do a shared list. We'll do an opt-in to share leads from that list. And if you can, you know, float some traffic to it, great. But I'm not requiring you to. I just have a budget and you're the guy and I want you to be happy. Rob's going to be like, this is the best partnership I have because,
that's right.
You know, you're really working to build my business where my other partners are just asking me for leads. Funding the creation of a course. I really like this one. I think Shopify is doing a good job at this. They're paying a couple of our agencies. I don't know how much, but they're paying them to build a course on Shopify. So a course could be, how do you do blank with your product in the middle? So your product is here, but because everything's an ecosystem and everything has to be funnel and automated and integrated, there's other products that exist around yours. And there's people that build those workflows out. So you can go to these people and say, hey, you're doing a really good job connecting our product, full funnel, and using all this other stuff. Those are service providers. I would like you to create a course, and I'm going to give you some money. What I'm also going to do, which is also good for me, is I'm going to put the links to that course in partner onboarding emails, as well as user onboarding emails. Because if I can show my users quickly how to build full funnel on top of my product, I'm going to have a stickier product. I'm going to have higher retention in my user base. So incentivize partners to put a course together, whatever you can do there. Next one is market development funds.
I want to make a point there where there are the DIY people, then the DFY people. When they see that course and they learn from it, when it's embedded in everything, you're going to see that a large percentage of those folks are just going to go to the partner, the agency partner, to have them do it for them.
Exactly. So this is all kind of rolled up under a term called MDF, market development funds. It's where you have a budget to basically go to market with partners. So I can say, Rob, you're my new partner. I'm still low on my budget, or I still have some budget left over for the quarter. I've got $5,000. What can we do with this? And Rob's a marketer and he's a service provider. He already knows a good strategy. He's got some leads. We're going to do an account-based strategy where we map accounts. We create a webinar together. We've got some content flowing out. It's being dripped out to Rob's newsletter, my newsletter. At the end of this campaign, Rob's got 50 new leads in his pipeline. I've got a bunch of new users. That's partner source revenue. So my boss is happy. That's done under a market development fund. The last one I have here is sponsoring content. And the way this works is essentially Rob is the expert in RevOps. I'm just a product partner manager, right? I'm a partner manager at a product, or I'm CEO of a product. People come to us for our product, but they go to Rob for the strategy around our product. So as a marketer, you know, I'm putting my marketing hat on. I don't want my marketing team to just talk about our product all day long in the blog and talk about keywords in the blog. I want to bring Rob into something that we're doing because he's the top.
Yeah. What does an expert have to say around a product and how you can leverage it as the most effective tool possible?
Exactly. And further, I want that on my blog, but I also want it on Rob's blog because I want Rob to send links to his newsletter. And this is where I think a lot of partner managers go wrong because they're not trained in marketing. Typically, they don't have that, you know, they don't think about it the way, you know, a savvy marketer would think about it. But if I want Rob to send people to a landing page, if that landing page is on my website and the event page is one owned by me and I'm the only one getting the leads from that event page, Rob's gonna probably not promote it that much. What I like to do is I tell my partner managers, let Rob own those pages. Give him the content to put on his blog and then send to his newsletter. Give him the rights to own that event landing page. And then if you want to share leads afterwards, put an opt-in and share leads afterwards. If Rob owns the funnels, he's going to send traffic to those landing pages at a much higher rate than if they're on your website. So when I talk about sponsoring content, you go to Rob and you say, Rob, I have $500 left over in my MDF this month. Let me do a guest post on your blog and I will spin PPC traffic to that blog post. And if you can, please share it on social and put it in your newsletter. Rob's going to be like, you're going to send $500 of PPC traffic to my website? Hell yeah. I'll put a blog post up. Yeah, I'll put your name on. I'll put your links in it. Sure. He gets that traffic. It's good for him as long as the content's good. That's what I mean by sponsoring content. But we do have to jump. This, we'll link to this, I guess, Rob. We can link to this presentation.
Yep, there'll be a link to this. And so, Alex, I want to, this is a great way to finish the podcast too, because you had everything that I was going to ask you at the end of how to take action. Again, this is Alex Glenn over at Partner Hub. He's the CEO. Alex, what's the best place for people to find you or get in touch with you and your team?
Yeah, you can go to partnerhub.app and create a free account. Partner Hub is free for both tech and agencies, digital agency service providers. It's very specific to SaaS software that agencies can build services on top of. We aren't quite in ed tech, and some fintech brands have reached out. They want accountants. We don't have accountants in Partner Hub yet. We've got your typical Shopify, HubSpot, Salesforce partners in Partner Hub. So if you're the type of product that wants that channel, Partner Hub is the place to be. If you need any questions answered from me, it's alex@partnerhub.app. And of course, if you're a digital agency, we love you guys. Please join as well. You can find partners in there. You can reach out. You can manage the whole partnership lifecycle in Partner Hub, referrals, of course. And we're coming out with new features and new UI for you to do more.
And have being a partner myself, a technology partner in the past, absolutely fantastic to meet with agencies and to get connected there. I've recommended, I've actually recommended it to a ton of people. So you're doing good stuff over there. And hopefully maybe get to join the team one day to help that innovation. Anyway, yes, thank you everybody so much for listening or watching this podcast today. This is hashtag DTRH podcast. Again, that's hashtag DTRH podcast. You can find it at https://anchor.fm/DTRH podcast. So check it out, give it a follow, share it with your friends. If you learn something from it, I really appreciate that if you share it, it's wonderful. There are no ads for this. It is a not-for-profit process, so please support it. Currently looking for more people to just help share the love. Thank you so much, and everybody have a fantastic afternoon. Cheers.